Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best. We'd love to invite you to join us for our many workshops. Many of them are on ground. That's a new word, right? On ground. What the heck does that mean? So that means that we actually have a class where you come. Very often we do outside classes where we go around listing various kinds and showing you the edible and medicinal plants that are right there, wherever we happen to be. And then we have a lot of online classes. Now everybody knows what that means. So online means you can join us. And you can join us for any online class, either while it's actually going on or later as an archive, either way. And there is CE credits for these online classes. For instance, there's 3 CEU credits for nurses, nurse practitioners, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, RDs, registered dietitians, and clinical nutritionists. Many of them right there on our website. You just go to naturalnurse.com and look at calendar. They're all coming up. We have a very busy time. For instance, we have one on herbal manufacturing, legal considerations. Let's say you made a salve or you made a tea and everybody loved it, and then you made more and you gave them away for gifts and everybody loved it, and you thought, wow, maybe I should make these and sell them. Well, maybe you should, but I highly suggest before you consider doing that, you take my class called Herbal Manufacturing Legal Considerations, so that you know what you're up against if that's a path that you feel is your path. Really better to know before you go. Sort of like learning to drive a car and yikes, nobody told you like a red light means stop. And then you go under a red light, you can't tell the police officer, oh, I didn't know that meant stop. Same deal here. It is major. Then we have an on-ground class all about Hildegard of Bingen. Hildegard was an amazing woman. She's a mystic, a psychic, a visionary, and a top herbalist of her time. So much so that she was called the scientific herbalist in Germany in her days. And in her days was 1098 when she was born to 1179. She lived very, very old as well, especially for that point in time. Fascinating individual, and I'll be teaching all about her herbal knowledge. Then we have an online webinar called Hemp, THC, CBD, cannabis, endocannabinoids. What's the buzz? And that's coming up. It is online and it offers 2 CE units, 4 RDs, but it's actually free and open to anyone. So I would definitely say register for that one because not all the classes are free, but that one is. It's being underwritten by the National Organization for RDs. And any RD, of course, can take it for 2 CE units, but anyone can take it for free. So do take advantage and sign up for that wonderful online class coming up. It's called Hemp, THC, CBD, Cannabis, Endocannabinoids, What's All the Buzz? It's on February 13th, and I believe if you sign up for free, you'll get an archive link as well if you don't make it that day. Then we have one called Career Paths in Natural Health. I get so many calls for this class because very often people, you know, get involved in natural medicine either personally for themselves or their loved ones, and they go, this is amazing. It works so phenomenally well. And they would love to have that as their daily conversation and their life, as I do and as I have since 1964. That has been my career. It has also been my vocation and my avocation and my hobby and my love. And I feel so fortunate, like most of my day, I am talking about natural stuff. I am participating in natural stuff, my own life, my family's life, my client's life. That's, of course, why we have personal consults available as well. But let's say you'd like to do that. Let's say you'd like to have a career in which you are surrounded by natural. Well, guess what? Natural is one of the hugest growth industries in the United States. And you can do it. So we have a whole class called Career Paths in Natural Health, Career Counseling with the Natural Nurse. So we do that individually all the time, but we now and then have a group class. So we have a group class coming up in February. You can get your feet work, you can attend online, you can attend in real time, or you can sign up and take it whenever you want. And that actually has 3 CEU credits for all professionals. And then I'll only announce one more, although we have so many that you can take. Online, we have the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course starting. And it's starting in March. And it's 4 classes, 1 a month. And it's actually 18 CEUs, 18 CEU credits. That's a lot. That's for nurses, NPs, RDs, midwives, all kinds of licensed professionals. And you take the first steps in becoming an herbalist. And when you complete the class and the homework, you get the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification. Now, that's not the same as an RH. An RH is a registered herbalist, and I do mentor many, many individuals through the process of becoming a registered herbalist. And the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course is one of the many things you can use towards becoming an RH or a registered herbalist. So we're talking about natural, and we're talking about supporting ourselves in the same breath. Very, very important. And today we're going to bring on board our guest, and this is Dr. Kabran Chapek. And of course, he is doing this with his life because he's a staff physician at the Amen Clinic since 2013, and he works in Seattle, where my son lives. And tell him to go there. As a graduate of Bastyr University in the Seattle area, he is an expert in the use of functional and integrative treatments, and that is both personally and professionally, and collaborates extensively with many physicians. He has an interest in the assessment and treatment of Alzheimer's and dementia, as well as traumatic brain injury, PTSD, and anxiety disorders. He has additional training in the assessment and utilization of hormones to treat traumatic brain injuries in combination with SPECT imaging and the Amen method. Dr. Chapek is the founding president of the Psychiatric Association of Naturopathic Physicians, who is part of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and you can find out more about him and also his brand new book that is coming out as well, which is really something that hopefully is on the market right now. We'll be talking about that as well. So thank you so much for joining us today. I believe your new book is called The Concussion Rescue.
Yes, it is, Ellen. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to talk with you today about this.
So what made you decide to become a naturopathic physician?
Well, when I was a kid, I hated being sick. And I was fortunate enough to be born to parents who were interested in natural medicine. And so they taught me about how to take care of myself. Vicks Vapor Rub on your chest. And I thought, oh my goodness, I can breathe now. It just was amazing to me. And so I began to read about herbs and diet and exercise. This was in about middle school to high school. And when it became time to decide what I wanted to do with my life, I had no idea about naturopathic medicine, but my parents were friends with one of the professors at Bastyr, where I went to school, and we had lunch at this kind of mediocre Mexican restaurant in Topeka, Kansas, where I'm from, and Mark Lambden told me all about naturopathic medicine. And it opened my eyes to this amazing field of looking at treating the cause, look at treating the not just the symptoms, but the whole person. And the burning desire was built inside me to study this. And so that's how I got interested in naturopathic medicine.
Well, why would you have decided on, let's say, naturopathic in particular versus, let's say, becoming a doctor of osteopathic medicine, a DO, or an MD, or a chiropractor? Where did you find that your focus was to go to Bastyr, which I actually think is the Harvard of naturopathic college?
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you. For me, it just made the emphasis on nutrition and exercise and diet, that's really at the forefront of naturopathic medicine. I was interested in the physical side, exercise, and looking at the structural piece. It's really important, but I think the different schools have a different emphasis. Osteopaths, you know, they're trained originally in structural and then have branched off, and many of the schools now are pretty much like conventional medical schools, although some osteopaths still manipulate and adjust, and chiropractors kind of the same. So and I didn't want to do conventional medical school because I wanted to, that wasn't where my heart was. I was not interested in looking at medications and surgery, and I just really wanted to understand how the body worked, and I wanted it to be a professional, really, I wanted to get really good training. And the doctors that I shadowed with, the naturopathic physicians, they said, you have to go to Bastyr, otherwise we're not going to talk to you again. You have to go to Bastyr. That's the one. So that's where I went.
Well, it is definitely an excellent education. And one of the things is I often teach career counseling in natural medicine, where people want to do natural medicine for their livelihood in their life. And we deeply discuss choosing to become a naturopathic physician is an excellent choice. And especially for someone who does have the time and the money, because this is not, you know, a weekend course.
That's for sure. Yeah.
It's serious. It's a very serious thing.
It is a big commitment. And, you know, if I hadn't gotten into Bastyr or decided that wasn't for me, I would have done something else. Been an herbalist or done acupuncture or something else in natural medicine. That's where my heart was. But Bastyr and naturopathic physician training, it is a higher level, and it's completely worth it for anyone that's interested in thinking about it.
It is. And one of the things that I think is so excellent is that let's say people have chosen to follow my path. So they want to be a nurse, but they want to be a natural nurse.
Yeah.
Well, it's possible, and I have many, many people doing that under my guidance at this point. But the thing is, first, you have to go through conventional training. And I just had a young nurse who is doing that. She's only 23 years old, and she was very frustrated because she said, I can't stand what they're teaching me in school. It's only about drugs, and I don't even want to know about that. And it's about, you know, emergency interventions. And I'm dropping out because I want to learn about herbs. I said, no. You're only 23. She has 10 months to finish and get her license, which is so important. And when you're young, you know, you don't have as much patience as I think we get as we age. But what's so fantastic about naturopathic school is from day one, yes, you learn about, let's say, drug interactions and things like that. But your focus from day one is how to deeply, correctly, and in an evidence-based approach deal with basically illness or you know, dis-ease or imbalance, how to use herbs correctly, how to use homeopathics, how to do physical adjustment, how to recognize and intervene in the emotional body and the spiritual. I don't think there's a better training, and from my perspective, I truly believe that every single health provider should be educated according to natural health principles. And then we can add in drugs and surgery later if needed. But really, it should be the first line and the standard of practice because of evidence, because of cost, because of safety. And it is just the preeminent and best medical intervention. And as a student, it's really fulfilling to be learning that from day one.
Oh, I love that, Ellen. That's amazing to hear you say that. And it's true. And it's very, the philosophy from day one, it's very much about the philosophy as well. You know, conventional medical school, they say first do no harm, but then it's going right to medications and surgery. This really is looking at all of the other options before you need to go to drugs and surgery. So it's truly an amazing education. It just feels so good to hear someone of your caliber to reflect on and talk about it that way. So I really appreciate it.
Well, sure. And also, you know, I just may add that I have 50 years, that's 50 years,
wow,
of practical experience with patients and seeing, wow, how the naturopathic approach, especially as first line, is, mm-hmm, the right way to go. So don't you think a wonderful clinic setup is to have all of the above? You, mm-hmm, do have medically trained individuals who understand medication, mm-hmm, and surgery too, but, mm-hmm, that's just not the first step.
Right. Yeah, I do. I hope that's the medicine of the future, is more integration. And that's what I love about working at Amen Clinics. You know, Dr. Amen's philosophy is, at Amen Clinics, we look at treating the whole person, non-toxic first. And so that's why I was a good match for them. I was the first naturopathic doctor, and we've since hired two more. So I was very proud of that, that we're expanding and really trying to create that integrated model.
Does the Amen Clinic deal with just regular daily kind of, you know, people staying well kind of thing? Or is it, you're very focused, and we'll talk about this, on brain health and injury. But is it more, yeah, inclusive?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we do see patients who are looking to optimize brain function, whether it's someone in their 50s, 60s, wanting to just check their brain as they go into the next phase of their life after retirement, or to assess the brain going into sports, even prior to sports. Prior preseason, we do brain imaging, looking at how the brain is working. But we also, of course, for the most part, see people who have issues, whether it's a problem with memory, focus, depression, anxiety, or ADD, for example. But we do see people who are looking to understand how their brain is working, to create a program for themselves to just improve. I love helping people optimize brain function, and because if you can optimize how your brain is working and how your body's working, you can really be your best self. And that's why I got into naturopathic medicine, really.
Well, brain health is your focus, which is certainly, you know, important for everyone, because whether it's just sort of a minor memory impairment, you know, we call that a senior moment. How would you define a senior moment? You're not there yet, so you might not know.
I have a lot of patients who come in and they're wondering, okay, is this just a senior moment? Is this normal aging? Or is this the start of something more serious? And the way we tell is, if you have an issue, like say, for example, you can't remember someone's name or something you've done yesterday, but it only takes you 5-10 seconds and it comes back to you.
But you know, it's a strange feeling. I hope you never experience it, but I have experienced it. Although I would say, you know, I'm really can do everything I used to do when I was younger. Sometimes, like, I would go, let's say you were my guest today. I could feel the name in my head, but getting it out through my mouth is sometimes there's a challenge there, I must say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you feel, yeah, that connection that isn't there, that used to be right at your fingertips.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good description. We call that word finding difficulty. And for the most part, that's pretty normal, especially if you eventually get it. That's the key. If you can't ever get the name or the word, or with a little bit of reminding, it doesn't come back, then it might be more serious and needs to be worked up and evaluated. And also, I would say that a lot of folks, you know, if it doesn't have to, the brain doesn't have to degenerate to a great degree. You know, we could live a long, healthy life doing all of the things that you talk about, Ellen, to optimize brain and body function. And I think we can live a very long time with very good brain function, but it takes some effort, you know, optimizing hormones, diet, exercise, nutrition. If all of those are in balance, I think the brain has a very good chance of delaying progression. You know, 1 in 2 people will have dementia after age 85. So we're all headed either towards it or away from it, which is kind of scary. But we also know that there's things you can do to delay and prevent progression.
So what do you mean by dementia, doctor? Is there a specific set of symptoms that would indicate that versus senior moment, let's say?
It really comes down to function, Ellen. So if someone is having difficulty functioning in their day-to-day life, that's when it crosses over that invisible line to becoming dementia versus mild cognitive impairment, or even before that, there's a new term called subjective cognitive impairment. So if someone, they notice for themselves, I'm having difficulty and I'm having trouble functioning in my life, but nobody else really notices it. That's we still have plenty of time at that point if it's subjective cognitive impairment. And then it progresses to mild cognitive impairment, which is some objective findings. So either on cognitive testing or family members notice, like someone isn't able to pay bills, cook meals, find their way home when they're driving, then it crosses that line over to dementia when there's some difficulty with functioning. It's just a matter of severity.
And doesn't it go in and out? Because I noticed with my mom, God bless her, we were somewhere recently and we were in a public place, so it was noisy. So she said, oh, we're in the clubhouse, meaning she thought we were in the clubhouse where there is noise in the background, but we weren't. We were in a different place. And I was very surprised by that.
Yeah, it does fluctuate. And the brain can certainly fluctuate as far as, you know, we're sharp, certain people, you know, we're sharper in the morning. Myself, I'm sharper in the morning versus the evening, and depends on what you've eaten, exercise. So all of these really do affect the brain, and it's normal to have fluctuation in memory and cognition. And what we want is have, that's actually okay as long as it's more good function than bad function. And that's kind of normal.
So, yeah, but it comes and goes. Like sometimes, you know, like I'll see with her, she, no, Ma, we're not in the clubhouse where, you know, where we were. And she was like, oh, and it doesn't happen all the time. So I imagine it might progress or it might stay the same.
Right. And so we hope with the work that we do, and I'm working with people with memory problems, I talk about with them and say, you know, we want to have less poor memory and more, you know, start to move that needle. First goal is to have no worsening, to just hold on to the cognitive reserves that you have and not worsen. But maybe we can get a little bit better, and that's always the goal. We try and improve memory as much as possible. There's really exciting new things out there with looking at, and really the key, there's no pill, there's no medication that works for dementia. but there, what is hopeful is the work of that we're doing and the work with Del Bredesen, who's a neurologist, that a comprehensive approach.
Okay, well, I would like you to explain that, Dr. Cabran, because what do you mean by there is no medication? We see commercials all the time for medication, but we're going to take a little break right here on Natural Alternatives. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with the author of Concussion Rescue, Dr. Cabran Chapek, and we'll talk about what does he mean there's no medication for dementia and what natural therapies might be promising. So we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the ancient Chinese science and art of acupuncture.
Acupuncture is a 5,000-year-old medical procedure involving insertion and manipulation of needles into specific points on the body. It is often applied to relieve pain during surgery and for many other conditions.
Acupuncture needles have been found in China that are over 4,000 years old. The first needles were made of stone. Later, bronze, gold, or silver was used, and today they are usually made from steel. Acupuncture was developed around the theory of special meridian points on the body connected to the internal organs, and that vital energy, or qi, flows along these meridians. According to this theory, diseases are caused by interrupted energy flow, and the stimulation of these points restores normal energy circulation. There is some scientific evidence of the existence of the meridians as a separate circulatory system. Studies were done in the 1970s by a Dr. Kim from Korea, where he injected radioactive dyes into the traditional acupuncture points. He observed migration of the dyes along the exact predicted path of the meridians.
How acupuncture works remains uncertain, but both Western and Eastern scientific studies on rabbits have shown that the analgesic effects are not simply a matter of suggestion. After the discovery in 1975 of endorphins, natural pain inhibitors in the body, some neurophysiologists suggested that the needles may trigger the release of these substances. American and Chinese studies have confirmed that placing acupuncture needles in the brains of dogs raises the level of endorphins in the spinal fluid.
Acupuncture is used today in most hospitals in China and by many private practitioners in virtually every country in the world, including the United States. The primary use is for analgesia, although ulcers, hypertension, asthma, and other conditions have been documented to respond favorably to this treatment. Chinese surgeons prefer acupuncture to the use of drug-induced analgesia because they claim it does not disturb normal body physiology and therefore does not make the patient vulnerable to shock. Brain surgery is especially amenable to this form of analgesia when it is necessary to keep the patient awake during the operation.
Although some modifications in the practice of acupuncture have been made, such as sometimes using a small electric current on the needle instead of the traditional twirling, acupuncture remains intact as an ancient therapeutic technique that has been used successfully for at least 5,000 years. Perhaps you'd like to add this piece of knowledge to your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We are talking about brain health with the author of Concussion Rescue, Dr. Kapran Chapik, and he is with the Amen Clinic, and that is in Seattle. Now, are there Amen Clinics in other areas of the country?
Yeah, we have 8 clinics now, so there's 4, let's see, there's 4 on the West Coast, so there's Seattle, Costa Mesa's Mothership, where Dr. Amen is. There's LA and San Francisco. And then on the East Coast, there's New York, Atlanta, Georgia, Reston, Virginia, and I guess there's Chicago, so I guess there's 9. We're going to open up in Dallas soon.
So people just go to Amen Clinic. Mm-hmm. If they want to look for locations and get in touch with you. And Where can people find your book, Concussion Rescue?
Concussion Rescue is available on Amazon, wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble's. And there's also an Audible for people who like to listen. There's a really good reader who read that. And actually, we're coming out with a course as well for people where there's a video course, and that will be out soon as well.
Now, I know once you discover that someone could need some help and support with various brain issues, and we were talking about there's no specific medication for Alzheimer's, why do we see all those commercials saying take this pill for Alzheimer's?
Great question. So there's been over 200 drugs that have been tried, and studies have failed to find the one pill to cure dementia or Alzheimer's. Now, there are medications that can help improve symptoms a little bit, sometimes very helpful. Aricept and Namenda are two, but they don't slow progression. They don't actually address the underlying problem, the degeneration of the brain. And that's why I say there's no medication for treating dementia or Alzheimer's. They may help with symptoms, but they don't delay or slow progression for people.
And what about the side effects of these?
Yeah, there's tremendous side effects. Some people tolerate them well, but some people really don't. And I tend to see a lot of those folks who they have dry mouth, constipation, insomnia. They can become more agitated. And so there are certainly side effects. What I suggest doing for people is if the medication is needed to help with a quick improvement in function, just so that they can do all of the other things, then it makes sense. So for example, we know someone needs to exercise and they're not. Maybe they need a medication to help them be able to exercise, to cook again and take care of themselves and just take the supplements that need to be taken. That's a good reason to take them, but we're missing the whole picture. We have a Bright Minds program to look at. Each letter in Bright Minds stands for a different risk factor. So for example, B is blood flow. And so we need to increase blood flow to the brain. One of the G's is genetics. So looking at susceptibility to Alzheimer's and dementia. If we look at all of the risk factors someone has and address all of those, that's the best chance we have. Dr. Bredesen, the neurologist who I mentioned, has published a couple of studies on this showing that it's not the one pill, but it's the programmatic approach that actually helps. And he's published on this. So he initially published a trial in about 10 patients. So it was 10 patients, 9 out of 10 improved. And they had either mild cognitive impairment or early Alzheimer's. And 6 out of 10 of them had actually stopped working and then went back to work. And now he's published, I believe 2 years ago in the journal Alzheimer's on 100 patients. So he's followed these patients and now has 100 of them. And a majority of them also have continued to improve. Those who started the program have not worsened. So this is tremendous hope when we thought there was nothing that could be done. And I want people to know that, because the earlier we address it, the more chance we have with natural medicine to delay progression and improve symptoms.
So, you know, the genetics, of course, you know, not that much we can do, but it's a great thing to know then, perhaps, because I know in your books and in there's so much information that you have, such as special testing, like the SPECT test that I'd love you to share with us. And then very specific supplements that people can try. And when you say concussion rescue, you don't mean everyone who's had just a concussion. It's helpful for many things, like head injuries. Yes. And, you know, for instance, an aneurysm, even if you're a younger person, any kind of brain injury.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So first we assess. The best treatment starts with a good assessment. And so we want to do a really comprehensive look at the brain. And at Amen Clinics, we use a functional imaging looking at blood flow. And this is called SPECT, which stands for single photon emission computed tomography, which basically is like a CAT scan, but using a radioactive isotope. So there's a little bit of radiation, about equivalent to a head CT scan. And it allows us to understand which parts of the brain are working well, which are not working well, and patterns of damage and injury. And so this is unlike an MRI or a CAT scan, which looks at the structure and looks at the pieces. And most of the time, especially with a mild traumatic brain injury, it gets missed. People go to the ER and they're told, you're fine, there's no brain bleed, you're going to be fine. Many people are not fine. About 20 to 50% of people after having a hit to the head, either a fall or you whack your head on the on something, a beam or top of the car, continue to have symptoms such as headaches, fatigue, irritability. And so this, the imaging helps us pick that up. There's a study done in PLOS One that proved that SPECT imaging picks up 94% of the time mild traumatic brain injury, which MRI misses. And so that helps us really target, okay, this area of the brain is weak. So for example, there's the temporal lobes. So think about your temples kind of behind there. If the temporal lobes are damaged, there tends to be more irritability and memory problems. So there was a pastor who had a car accident, it was a couple years ago, and he seemed fine, went to the ER, got checked out, hit his head during the car, and they told him he was fine. But 2 weeks later, he couldn't write sermons. He was having difficulty. And there's sometimes a delayed onset. That's one of the myths of brain injury, that when you hit your head, if you're fine, if you seem fine, everything's okay, you can see two fingers, three fingers, your pupils are not dilated, then you're going to be okay. When in fact, there can be a delayed onset of symptoms. So there's two groups of people out there that really would benefit from the book. One is those who have had a brain injury and they haven't gotten better. And then there's those who have some other problem, whether it's memory, mood, anger, and it may be due to a brain injury, but they're not sure. And so that's where the assessment comes in, both imaging, I recommend blood work, cognitive testing. Those are really the three elements that are important, in addition to the history. So people often forget and minimize. We ask people at least five times who come in if they've ever fallen out of a tree, fallen off a horse, had a car accident. I had a patient, we'll call him Jeremy, who he had been suicidally depressed since he was 14 years old. And he was 21 when he came to see me. And when we looked at his brain, he clearly had had a brain injury. He had damage to his temporal lobe, and he had mood problems, and he had damage to his frontal lobe. The frontal lobe is behind the forehead, involved in concentration and focus and impulse control. And he was just smoking a lot of pot. He was depressed. He was in a bad relationship he couldn't get out of. And he was this jazz drummer. He was this really talented musician. And I said, okay, are you sure? You haven't had a brain injury. It looks like you've had a brain injury on your skin. Have you ever, said no. Have you ever fallen off a horse, dove into a shallow pool, fallen out of a tree? Said no. And I said, have you ever played contact sports? And his mother, who was with him, piped up and said, oh yeah, I remember you started playing football when you're about 13. And you were matched against the coach's son, who was 6 foot tall at the time, and he was a scrawny little kid, and he would just get creamed and had headaches and dizziness. And afterwards, that's when his depression and then his suicidal thoughts started. So in addition to changing his medication, put him on a program to actually heal his brain. And several months later, he stopped having suicidal thoughts. And in a couple months, he's about to graduate from the Berklee School of Music for jazz drumming.
Wow, that's such a wonderful story. And probably had he not come to the Amen Clinic and gotten tested, then I imagine did you use supplements with him as well, as diet?
Oh, yes. And
all the things a naturopathic physician would do?
Absolutely.
How would a diet for that person look? Because, perhaps they were eating a lot of junk food. We find that a lot with depressed people.
Right. He was. His diet was terrible. He was eating sugar, processed food, whatever was easy and quick, because he didn't feel like it. But when we explain that the brain is a very hungry organ, it uses 20 to 30% of calories in your diet, then I need to fuel my brain. He understood that. And we gave him a diet that was, you know, we often like to try a ketogenic diet, which is
tell people what that is.
It's a high fat diet, very low carbohydrate diet with just less than 30 grams of carbohydrate per day, which isn't much. If you think about it, it's maybe a couple apples. So most of the carbohydrates come from vegetables, and there's really no carbs, no grains, no potatoes, no rice, anything. It's just vegetables, tends to be high in fat and moderate in protein. So it's not Atkins, it's a moderate protein diet. It's not for everyone, even though it's kind of a fad right now. It's not for everyone. But it is a therapeutic diet, and it can help heal the brain. And it's called ketogenic because by restricting those carbohydrates, the body is forced and the liver is forced to produce ketone bodies from fats, from especially long-chain fatty acids. And those ketones become a fuel source. And a damaged brain can't use glucose as well. And as we said, it's a really hungry organ. But it can use ketones well. They kind of come in by osmosis. They float into the brain cells, and they can use them for energy. And it's very energizing to the brain that may be not getting enough fuel. So it's worth a try. And that was one of the keys that really helped him. Not that he needed to do it forever, but we put him on that for about 3 months and then just a lower carb diet. Many people do well on a lower carb diet, but focusing on the colorful things, the vegetables, a little bit of fruit, especially berries, is fine. It's lower glycemic index. Lean and healthy meats with healthy fats in particular, avocados, coconut oil, macadamia nuts, and lean and protein sources are important too. Grass-fed, organic, beef, chicken, things like that for easily digestible protein sources were another key. So that was kind of the diet. Supplements being, we want to target several areas. We want to look at something that decreases inflammation because we know with brain injury, as well as many other neurological conditions, there's this chronic level of inflammation. It's like a fire that hasn't been put out and continues to smolder for months and sometimes years. And what I'm talking about, you're right, is will help many neurological problems. And it's interesting that we were talking about dementia earlier because much of the same approach will help memory problems as it will help brain injury.
That is one of the fantastic things about all natural therapies, Dr. Cabran, because from what I have found is that you might use a particular thing, let's say NAC, N-acetylcysteine, because I believe you have a lot of about that.
Love it.
Yes, it may help the thing that you're indicating it for, but instead of having all these horrendous adverse effects, it also helps something else. So that is very often the case, like you're talking about changing your diet. So you might be doing it for brain health, but it's actually going to help every single thing because everything that brings down inflammation is going to help every aspect of your health. So just that whole premise of whatever you're doing for this one indication, instead of having a long list of adverse effects on the rest of your body, helps the rest of your body.
Thank you for saying that. I love that. It's like the side effects of natural medicine are like, you know, weight loss and better health overall versus side effects from you may get something out of an effect from the medication, but then you pay for it in some other way, but in natural medicine typically is going to be synergistic. Love that. So NAC, N-acetylcysteine, this is an antioxidant. It increases glutathione, which is one of your body's main antioxidants and is really helpful for quenching inflammation and helping those cells that are damaged. And curcumin. Curcumin is a spice, or from the spice turmeric. And typically, I will recommend about 1,000 milligrams a day of curcumin and 1,000 milligrams of NAC. Curcumin is a great anti-inflammatory, and for brain injury, if used acutely, in particular, really helps decrease swelling. It helps open up aquaporins. These are these water channels in the brain that help sort of flush out extra fluid if there's swelling. So curcumin is great for that. Simple old vitamin C. So vitamin C doesn't get enough respect. It's actually really important for brain function, and we tend not to get enough of this important antioxidant. It's water soluble.
Well, I'd like to share this about vitamin C, Dr. Cabran.
Great.
That I knew Linus Pauling.
Oh my goodness!
And I'm sure you read about him.
Oh yeah.
Linus Pauling was a big advocate of vitamin C.
And oh yeah.
He really thought that everyone should be supplementing with it, either consciously with eating daily because it does not stay in our body, or using supplements. In addition to eating foods that have vitamin C.
Oh, that's so cool. Vitamin D is in dog. Really important. Think of vitamin D more like a hormone than a vitamin. It's fat soluble, and it directs other nutrients in the body, and it directs inflammation and can help regulate the immune system. And of course, that's so important for brain with inflammation. Omega-3 fatty acids. So it's important to give fairly healthy doses of omega-3s for cell membranes. So all of your cell membranes have sort of a fatty layer around them. And those omega-3 fatty acids help keep that flexible cell membrane so that it's healthier, toxins out, nutrients in. And omega-3s help kind of rebuild the neuron, the nerve cell, and help decrease inflammation. And that's all of those things I just mentioned are what I recommend people take right after they've had a concussion, almost like a first aid kit that should be in everyone's car or actual first aid kit, to take these things right after a hit to the head, because that's the time, like that's when the inflammation is starting. And there's a study that showed that in mice, inflammation happens right away. And if glutathione is applied to the mouse skull immediately, there's 67% less cell death. If applied within 3 hours, there's 50% less cell death. So there's this window of time which we can act.
So we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you know, Dr. Cabran, I'd like to let you know that Dr. Z, I keep saying, he is my partner. We actually have a business that we own jointly for over 37 years. And he is Dr. Eugene Zamperone, who is a Bastyr graduate and also one of the founders of the UB School of Naturopathic Medicine. So we're very, very familiar with naturopaths and naturopathic medicine.
That is so cool.
Yeah, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, he is quite well known in his own right. And we'd like to take a little break right here so people can find out more about our wonderful station, Progressive Radio Network. And we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Next time on Peace Talks Radio, the Roosevelts, from a peace studies perspective, the story behind Teddy's Nobel Peace Prize, the nuances of FDR's war and peace philosophies, and Eleanor Roosevelt's negotiation skills.
She was a respectful and patient negotiator who also had a Velcro butt. I mean, she would stay at the table. She would not leave.
On the next Peace Talks Radio.
Gadget guy, but I love gadgets that really do the trick, like the new app The Progressive Radio Network has an app, thanks to our friends at Audio Now. Hey, this is Mark Farrell, host of Insight on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we broadcast live out of New York City. But if you can't catch the show live, no frets. It's always archived. It's always on the app. Download it now, listen later, whenever you want. The Progressive Radio Network app is available from our friends at Audio Now. Check it out.
Hey, it's Jesse, PRN station manager. I have an exciting announcement for our amazing listeners. PRN has a new voicemail line that will allow you to connect better with our hosts. If you can't listen live but have a question or comment for one of our hosts, just call 862-800-6805. That's 862-800-6805. This feature will allow your voice to be heard on your favorite PRN show.
Thank you for listening to the Progressive Radio Network.
Does PRN inspire you? Does PRN make you want to learn more? Does PRN help you to see inside yourself, to be yourself, to grow, and to do? The truth is, we all need each other to be, to grow, and to do. So, we are asking that you check out the PRN.fm.
Welcome back to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network, and that's PRN.FM, and you just got to hear about other shows that we have on here. In addition, this is Gary Knoll's network. He's got lots of great shows on here, and we just got a little flyer saying that this station has won many awards as being the top progressive radio station, not only in the United States, but around the world, which is really, really exciting. And today we have as our guest Dr. Kibran Chapek. He is the author of Concussion Rescue, Integrative Therapies for Head Injuries, Dementia, PTSD, and Anxiety Disorders. Let's talk a little bit, Doctor, about anxiety, because certainly anxiety is more wide-ranging than head injuries, although you're saying sometimes it might have been a hidden head injury in the past.
Yeah, anxiety is a huge issue, and especially in young people, it's just increasing with social media and pressure, and there's different kinds of anxiety as well. There's panic, there's social anxiety, there's just generalized anxiety and worry. And then there's sort of existential anxiety, like things don't feel right. And so a little bit of anxiety like that may be normal. Like we don't want too much anxiety, but we need a little bit for motivation and empathy and worry. And it's interesting when I'm looking at someone's brain and they have a really active limbic system or basal ganglia. This is a part of the brain. You probably heard of the amygdala, and the amygdala is sort of the fear and worry center of the brain. And if that, some people just are wired such that it's really, really working too hard and too active. And so there's going to be a propensity towards more anxiety, worry, and fear. And so a comprehensive approach tends to work better than just like a Xanax, because that just makes things, there's a dependence on the medication and the anxiety comes roaring back when the medication wears off. So counseling is really important, looking at the cause and talking to someone that's an expert. Things that can help lower anxiety and stress, theanine is wonderful, cortisol lowering, stress hormone lowering, amino acid from green tea. I love using things like kava kava and passion flower, herbs to lower anxiety. And then breathing techniques are wonderful. Oftentimes folks tend to overbreathe and actually blow out too much carbon dioxide. You need kind of a balance of carbon dioxide and oxygen to allow oxygen to get to the brain. So really a comprehensive approach is really the most effective versus a one pill.
So absolutely, and that makes so much, in fact, there isn't any comparison between the two. But you're saying anxiety is possible for many reasons, not only due to a concussion or a brain injury.
Correct, yes, absolutely true.
My son, who lives in Seattle, his name is Titus Comet Kohutek, and he actually has a an organization called the Anxiety Experts, and he runs workshops on a lot of somatic things that an individual can do.
Oh, I love that. Love that.
Yeah, along with his wife. His wife is a Bastyr graduate. She has a double degree both in nutrition and also in psychotherapy from Bastyr. So they run these wonderful workshops. So I'll have to get him together with you.
I would love to connect with him. I love that. Somatic work is great.
Yeah. So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. It's been fascinating to speak with you. Just tell us in our last few minutes the best way to find out more about your book, who might benefit from getting it, and how people can get in touch with you directly.
Yeah. So the book is Concussion Rescue. It's available wherever books are sold. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, all of those places. It's also on Audible. And we have a course that's coming out soon on Concussion Rescue for a video series. And you can get in touch with us. You can search for AimanClinics.com. And we're at the Northwest location, Aiman Clinics Northwest in Seattle. Let's see, what else was I going to tell you?
Well, that's pretty good. You know, just basically that people can get your book very easily, that it may help them in many, many ways, even if they didn't have a concussion.
Yes, people that have not had a concussion but may have some other health problem, especially memory, focusing, anxiety, depression, it is very helpful for those as well. And also just keep in mind it's never too late. It's never too late to try to help heal your brain, whether it's dementia, anxiety, depression, or a past brain injury.
Let me ask you one other question here in our last minute. What is your feeling about using hyperbaric oxygen chambers
my goodness.
For these?
I love hyperbaric oxygen. It's if I had one magic bullet to use for healing brain injury, that would be it. If I couldn't do anything else.
That's a pretty big sign-off information. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for being our guest today. You were a wonderful guest. And I'm so happy we were able to have you on right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
My pleasure.
And listeners, thank you so much for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And on behalf of myself and my co-host, naturopathic physician Dr. Eugene Zamperone, we hope that you have a wonderful day and we hope that you stay healthy.